First Kings, the kids can be dismissed to Children's Church, and I believe we have a nursery worker available today. All right. Hate to lose the whole crowd. Don't have much of a crowd today. Just need to keep kids in here so I have somebody to look at. First Kings, the 18th chapter, is a beautiful passage of Scripture because we see a move of God in a special way. And so we're going to look at this for just a little while. We're going to entitle this sermon today, Lord, Send the Fire. I think you'd agree with me that any church worth its salt, or I should say a Pentecostal church worth its salt, would have or should have a move of the Spirit of God in it more frequently than not. And the congregants should be able to come to a Pentecostal church full of expectation of a move of God, not just because they deserve it, but because they have been seeking it, longing for it, asking God for it through prayer and supplication, and making themselves available to Him as a vessel to carry the fire. So anyway, we want to talk about fire just a little bit today. There's a lot of ways to create fire, and perhaps you're a person that's fascinated with fire. You can start a fire with a match. You can use a magnifying glass to start fire, and if you're really good, you can take two sticks and rub them together. Or perhaps a piece of flint with a little bit of few twigs and some leaves and get a fire going. There's a lot of different ways to do that. I prefer taking some diesel, pour it on top of a big pile of brush, and taking a torch to it, setting it on fire. Something about fire sometimes fascinates us. I get a big fire going and I just want to sit there and look at it. But I've noticed if you get too close to it, it'll get on you. You may not get the actual fire, but you'll get the heat from the fire. I was burning some leaves one time for a friend, and well, I wasn't a friend. I worked for him. His name is Willoughby. And he had me out of his new farm, and I was burning weeds, and I didn't have any boots on. I probably had on tennis shoes. And for whatever, back then, I had some nylon socks. You know, them old. And I was burning them leaves and grass on the ground. It wasn't a big fire. All of a sudden, it felt like a bunch of bumblebees were stinging my ankles. And I start. And next thing, what happened, there wasn't no flame, but them socks were burning up on my feet. I come out of them pretty quick. Well, actually, burned right off my feet. Needless to say, I was a little more careful with fire after that. Even got more careful after I threw gasoline on a fire one time, and it singes your eyebrows when it all comes back. The fumes come back this way. I'm sure none of you have ever done anything so foolish. But I'm going to tell you something, church. We need to get to a place that we're so foolishly in love with God and longing so deeply for a move of God that we'll do whatever it takes to have it. And so I want to read you some scripture, and then I want to bring you a sermon today called Lord, Send the Fire. 1 Kings 18, verse 20. Most of you know the background. If you don't, I would encourage you to read for yourself so I don't have to go back and rehearse it today. Some of the background of Elijah, a great prophet of God, and his interaction with Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets there in that time. Verse 20 says, "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." Now, he didn't gather the prophets of God necessarily. He gathered the prophets of Baal. So, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt?" Now, halt means how long you going to cripple along, walk with a limp. That's what halt means there. How long you going to be crippled? I just want to throw that in. How long halt you? How long you going to be messed up? between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let us choose one bullock for ourselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he is asleep and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until that time, until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Father, today, anoint this messenger. Anoint our hearts to hear what the Spirit would say. In Christ's name, amen. Maybe fire has always fascinated you. I don't know that it's always fascinated me, but it is something that when I'm around one, I look at. And something that about that just kind of, I don't know, just makes you want to be around it for a while. It's kind of cool to be there. Some of you have fire pits, I'm sure, at your house, and you like to go out there and start a fire and sit around it and chew the fat, so to speak. For you girls, that means talk and cut up. For you young guys that don't know what that means, and Michael, chew the fat means talk and carry on. Michael gets tired of me picking on him, so I'll stop after today, Michael. I won't pick on you again until next Sunday. It's a promise. Fire does that for us. We sometimes are fascinated by it. But it goes on that way, and that's how we are. Maybe it's fascinated you, and maybe you have come to a place in your life that you have would like to be or are fascinated by the fire of God. I think that's the place we need to get, that where we are fascinated by the fire of God. Where it's something that we would like to see. We would like to participate in. We would like to feel that warmth that comes from the fire of God. I don't know about you, but I think all the church of the real living God should be crying, Lord, send the fire. Lord, send the fire. You see, fire is heaven's solution for our weakness, for our impotency. Maybe we're not getting things done because there's no fire. It's heaven's solution to apathy, to our lukewarmness and indifference. Perhaps we're indifferent and lukewarm today because there's no fire. Because we don't desire the fire. Because we don't want to acquire the fire. That we're just in a place that we are comfortable in our living. But the fire is heaven's solution to worldliness and materialism and carnality. The fire burns out those things. When you get the real fire of God in your life, those things go away. Why? Because the fire burns them up. It will consume them. It'll turn your hearts back to God. You see, the main thing that indicates the presence of God in these people's life was the supernatural fire in the midst of the people. The other prophets tried to start, they could have started a fire, but Elijah said, let's see which God answers by fire. They all could have burnt the sacrifice. They could have caused it to happen, but they were looking for not just another moment, not just another church service, not just another normal sacrifice, but a sacrifice that brought the supernatural power of God into their midst. Church, may I suggest to you that one of the reasons our church is no longer growing is because the supernatural fire of God has been left to die out. That we no longer come to the altar of prayer. That we no longer seek God with all of our heart. Instead, we go through emotions. Or emotions, I should say. Perhaps that's what's wrong. You see, God supernaturally manifested himself in a pillar of fire to the children of Israel. He answered by fire, and he showed himself by a pillar of fire by night, by day and by night, and smoke by day from the fire that was burning outside the camp. God led them by fire. He manifested himself that way. At the dedication of Solomon's temple, God showed himself real and alive, and the anointing of God flowed by fire. Fire came down and consumed the offering and the sacrifices when Solomon dedicated the temple. In 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says this, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. No sacrifice, no glory. No sacrifice, no glory. No fire, no glory. Just another church service. You see, I would say that one of the main things that we're in need of today is fire. A fire of the Holy Ghost. A fire from heaven that would burn into our lives. A fire that would originate from God and come from God. A real fire of God. I'm still Pentecostal. We've been kind of walked, not really walked away from it, but we've kind of laid it on a shelf so as not to maybe to offend people, or because we are reaching a group of people that have different, various backgrounds and different denominational, ideas about different things. It's sort of like one time we had a Church of Christ lady come in here, and she liked the move of God, but she didn't like the fact that we didn't do sacrament every service. So she said we couldn't be of God because we needed to do the sacrament every service. And maybe that's a good idea and something we ought to do more often. I think it is something we should do more often, but it didn't really make a difference in our worship. It's just that she thought that's something we needed to do. Well, there's things we do need to do, but I don't know that those things, sometimes we get caught up in those type things and we forget what God's looking for is a broken and contrite spirit. And someone that would lay themselves across the altar and grab the horns of the altar, so to speak, and stay there till something supernatural manifested itself, maybe not in that church service, but in that person's life. We need to get back there. We need more fire, that fire that originates from God. Nothing man does can compare to the fire of God. We can bring in some big name music stars to sing. We could change our lighting situation here. We could probably hire us a band that would really rock the house. But if that's all man-made worship and man-made things, it won't move the heart of God, nor will it change your heart if we're doing it just for entertainment or just to try to draw a group of people in. I tell you what would draw a group of people in is we would set this house on fire with a move of the Holy Ghost of God. That would bring somebody in right there. See, fire is the essence of heaven that enters the human spirit and sanctifies and purifies and glorifies our being till we can truthfully say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How many of us can truly say that today? We're so in love with God, so full of the Spirit of God, that we can truly say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to get back there where we anticipate what's going on. You see, fire illuminates, fire attracts, fire convicts, the fire delivers, and the fire devours. We need the fire of God that would lift us into the realm of God where the invisible becomes visible. Amen. We do. We need it, church. We need it desperately. So I don't believe you, preacher, today. Well, I guess I'm going to say that. I ain't going to say that. I hope you will believe me. I hope you'll understand where I'm coming from. It's the fire of God that brings the untouchable and makes it touchable and makes it tangible. And the unspeakable is spoken and the impossible becomes possible. I told you earlier, we're a tipping point. Some of you's right at this place. We're at a place where either we're going to go forward in God or we're going to continue to go back. We need to go forward in God. We made huge strides over the last 25 years. We don't want to go backwards. We want to continue to go forward till the Lord's through with us here. Don't you? Don't you want to continue to grow in God? Or are you satisfied right where you at? I'm going to tell you, first fire gets in you and then fire will change you. That's probably what's wrong with us. We have no fire flowing. We have no fire that flows out of us. When the fire of God gets in a man, his words are on fire. Everything changes about him. His song is on fire. His testimony is on fire. You don't just get up and give some little piddly testimony. You stand up with power and authority and anointing, and you tell people everywhere, this is what God has done. And you're excited about it. We can't speak of the flame of heaven without talking about the gift of the Spirit. Or I should say the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit communicate this divine flame to us and through us. We need the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church again. They're operating on a small scale, but we need the gifts of the Spirit. There needs to be tongues and interpretation. There need to be gifts of healing, gift of faith, and gift of prophecy. Word of knowledge. Those gifts, those 12 gifts need to be in operation in the church. That's what the normal church was. Some say, well, that faded away with the early church, with the first century church. No, it did not. No, it did not. Joel says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men have dreams. In the latter days, shall be filled with the Holy. I still believe in Acts 2 and 4. I still believe in it. They were all, you know, tongues of fire lit upon each of them. I still believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, with this evidence of speaking in unknown tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. It's still real. They're a manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit, a manifestation of the fire of God. They are supernatural in origin, and they are divine in nature, and they communicate to us the will of God and the power of God. I don't know whether you're getting this or like this or not. I hope you're getting it. And I hope you like it, but if you don't, that's not my problem. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. It has to change. There's too much not happening. That should be happening. Something has to change. I'm going to tell you something. The only one thing that would bring cold, indifferent, worldly-minded Christians back to their first love is the fire of God. The only thing that's going to bring a worldly person back to God is fire. The true fire of God. We got to have it in our church. We need a true fire of God. We get back to our first love. Jesus said over in Revelations, I don't remember the chapter right now, but they was talking to the seven churches of Asia, and one of those churches said that I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. I think it was the same church said that you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm tired of it. God says, I want a church that's on fire. It's not enough to say we're a church that loves. We need a church on fire. It's not enough to say we're a church that are missions-minded. We need a church that's on fire. Not enough to help the family promise. We need a church that's on fire. It's not enough to provide food for the hungry. We need a church that's on fire. That's just doing what the church is supposed to do, but we need a church on fire. There's no repentance until the fire came in the early church. Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Nobody got saved except for those 120 in the upper room till the day of Pentecost. And then there was thousands saved. Why? Because the fire of God fell. And they preached another day, another several thousand got saved. Why? Because the power of God fell. And it was in their lives. It was evident. There was no repentance of these people in Elijah's day till the fire fell. Everything was in order. Everything was in place. The altar was restored. The wood was in order. The sacrifice was slain. But nothing changed until the fire fell. We can come in. We can have everything in order. I'll go into that probably in a minute, but he could have everything in order, but nothing's going to happen till the fire falls. I know you got to get things in place. Understand that. We got to get in place, but the fire needs to fall. We need the fire of God. This was no gentle, gradual, mild, comfortable, containable, and confined fire. It was an instant, and it was complete, and it was consuming. Our God is a consuming fire. It was complete fire that consumed everything. It could not be mistaken, and it could not be overlooked. We need a fire in the church, in our lives, that cannot be mistaken, and it cannot be overlooked. We've got to a place that we're ashamed to dance in the Spirit. We're ashamed to lift our hands and worship God in a worship service. We're ashamed to lift our voices and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. We're ashamed anymore to come to an altar and say, God, I have sin this week. Would you forgive me? Instead, we sit in our pew with our heads down and we pray. pray 5 minutes, and then we're up and done and out the door just like we always were. If there's no fire, there's no repentance. Now you got an angry look on your face. I guess I do. I'm not angry. I'm tired. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of prepared messages that nobody wants to hear. I'm tired of preaching to people who could care less. So yeah, I do care. No, you don't. If you cared, you'd come to an altar when you're invited. If you cared, you'd visit the sick. If you cared, you'd pray for the lost. If you cared, you'd change. We may not have anybody for lunch today. I'm not angry. I'm upset. I'm not upset. I'm upset because things hadn't changed in a while. Things have stayed the same. Actually, if they're staying the same, they're going backwards. We've regressed instead of progressed. Elijah saw a need for fire. He saw the need. Can we not look up and look around and see in our nation, in our world, the spirit that's in it? The age and the condition of this society, the spirit of the age and the condition of our society and the low state of spiritual power in our churches. Can we not agree with Elijah that we need the fire? Look around you, church. Churches are dying. If we're not careful, we're going to die. I'm going to spend 25 years here and end up with a dead church. Over my dead body. Not today, Lord, but I don't want a dead church. Church ain't no fun when it's dead, when it's dry. We have to pull everything out of everybody. It's no fun like that. It was never intended to be that way. But it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see, Elijah prayed, and Elijah expected fire. When he prayed, he expected the fire. Do we expect the fire? Do we anticipate the fire? Do we desire the fire? How many times do we come to church? And I just spoke to this briefly a while ago, but how many times do we come to church expecting another routine service? We'll open with prayer. We'll have a song service. We'll receive the offering. We'll have a few special songs if you're lucky. Preacher, preach. We'll go home. How many times do you come expecting just that? Especially on Sunday morning. And a Sunday afternoon, we come back out here and do some announcements, do prayer requests, receive the offering, sing a few songs, have one special. I'll preach 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe, if you're not lucky. We'll invite you to come to the altar. You might come for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes. We get up, we go home. If everything works according to Satan's plan, we're here about an hour. Say, Satan's plan? Well, Satan sure don't want the fire to fall. Satan doesn't want your life changed. He sure don't want you on fire for God. He doesn't want the Holy Ghost to move in a service. He doesn't want you to be on fire for God. It must be according to His will. How long has it been since you walked through the doors of this church expecting God to do something with a sense of something supernatural getting ready to happen? How long has it been? It's been a while, hasn't it? I'm not saying we're not a good church. Don't y'all say that. Pastor said we're just a terrible church. There's no. I'm just trying to wake you up today. It's got to change. Something's got to change. You see, when Elijah came that day, and he challenged those 450 prophets and that old sorry king named Ahab, Elijah anticipated the fire. Elijah expected the fire, and Elijah wanted the fire. He didn't piddle around about it. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he was expecting, and he trusted God to do it. He had been in prayer. He had sought God. He had listened to God, and now he was obeying God, so now he could expect that God would do what God does and show up in the fire. It's still true today, folks. I'll tell you, how do we know he wanted the fire? He made preparation. He made preparation. He rebuilt the altar. He put wood on the altar. He placed a sacrifice on the altar, and that's always required. He poured water on the altar, which is sacrifice. And it's still true today. No water, no fire. The fire will fall only when the wood is wet. Most of our altars today are dry. Most of the time these altars are dry. No water, no fire. No tears, no fire. No repentance, no fire. God's wanting to move. God wishes to move. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us. You see that trench that He dug, contained it around the altar, would contain two measures of seed, which speaks to us of a penetrating work, a deep work, a searching work. God is searching out our hearts. God is looking inside of us. You see, but much of what happens around our altars today is shallow and superficial. We're more concerned today about the blessing than with the transformation. Most of the church comes to church seeking and expecting a blessing, but they do not wish any transformation in their lives. But I want to tell you something. If you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind and your spirit, you will receive the blessing of God. But we want just the blessing without any transformation. In other words, we want God to move in our lives without us ever having to repent. We just want it how we want it, when we want it. Bless me, Lord. God's looking for sacrifice. God's looking for tears. God's looking for a change to come into your lives. See, the fire transforms things. When the fire of God falls, things change. Things are altered. You think differently. You speak differently. You walk differently. You talk differently when there's real fire in your life. You no longer look at the things you used to look at. You don't ponder those things. You don't desire those things. Everything changes when God really gets a hold of you. Your lifestyle changes. Your desires change. The things you once loved, you no longer love, because the fire came and God did a work in your life. The God, he said, that answers by fire, let him be God. Well, our God still answers by fire. The question is anybody asking for it? Is anybody asking for the fire? Don't know. I wonder. But sad truth is that generally speaking, most Christians are more concerned about being comfortable than with being consumed. Don't say anything, don't do anything, don't make me do anything that would make me uncomfortable. Don't preach anything, preacher, that would cause me distress. Don't say anything that might aggravate and agitate or make me mad. Thousands of preachers today are closing their messages out right now. Hundreds of thousands are across our nation. And the vast majority of them didn't say anything that would anger anybody for fear of losing somebody. That's a sad state of a preacher. To be afraid to preach the word because he might lose somebody. It's a sad state of a Christian who would leave a church because a preacher dared tell you the truth. You see, the fire of God is that undeniable, indisputable, tangible manifestation of the essence of heaven that so fills a life that anyone who is looking on recognizes that it is God. They'll recognize God. The fire is not religion. It's not religious activity. The fact is, the fire of God will destroy most religious activity. It'll get rid of the religion out of it. It'll get rid of religious activity. And honestly, and over the years, a lot of churches, and we've done this ourselves, to be honest with you, in an effort to produce the fire, we go through programs, activities, doing things trying to hit the right combination. The right combination to bring people in and to cause something to happen in the church. Just the right worship group, just the right music team, just the right Sunday school teachers. Have this program, have that program, have this activity. But when the fire comes, when the real fire of God gets in a church, programs are unnecessary. I mean, you don't want to do nothing, do you, preacher, except just have church service? I'm going to tell you something. Back in the old days, well, we ain't going back there. Well, back in the old days, the fire of God was evident in people's lives. And their life revolved around the church and the activities of the church and the pie suppers and the all-night prayer meetings. And the fellowship dinners on Sunday afternoon. And the church service on Thursday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. In every revival in Brush Harbor they could get to. They had worked 12 hours a day in the fields. Go home, wash up, have a bite of supper, get in the wagon, and go to a camp meeting somewhere. And the fire of God was evident and moving in their lives. And people's lives were transformed and changed. But now we have so many activities that we schedule most things around the activity, most church things around the activities of the people of the church trying to find a time to have something religious or spiritual. Can't have more than a 3-day revival now because it wears everybody out. Can't have it Monday through Wednesday because that's the work week or the school week. Let's have it Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And then you don't come because you got something going on. Come on now. I'm going to quit. Just give me a couple more minutes because I'm beginning to meddle. But it's the truth. If all we're concerned about is fires or programs, we're not going to keep a fire burning. If we're more concerned about everything except God, there won't be any fire burning. I'm not saying you shouldn't have outside activities. I won't say you should never take a vacation or go ride a horse or a four-wheeler or go fishing or, my goodness, sure, Jesus withdrew and went on a, he took sabbaticals from his ministry. They don't write about it in the Bible. There's different places it says he went away. He went away for a few days at a time. Nothing wrong with that. But his life revolved around his God. and around his church. And he gave his life for his church. I really believe this, that one of the greatest needs in this church today, our church today, I'm not talking about any other church. Yeah, that church over there, I know a church needs this. I'm not concerned about any other church today except this church. I believe this church needs a fresh fire from heaven. A fresh fire from heaven. No, don't go there. Robbie, turn on that CD. The one is probably already keyed up. Which one is it, Martha? That's it right there. Turn it up. Now, I've delivered my heart to you. The rest is up to you. I've been in prayer. I've been asking God. I've been crying out, God, we need a move. And I need answers. I need to know your will in my life. I need you to show me. The rest is up to you. We have altars. They're open. I don't know what else to do. It's up to you.